Okay, welcome to our Committee of the Whole meeting. And I guess we will call the Committee of the Whole meeting to order, please, roll call. Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee Carji?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Hennig?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Odusi?
Here.
Okay, I guess I'll ask for public comment. Is there anybody that you know of asked to be?
I don't believe so. Sarah, no one has signed up for the 6 or the 7 o'clock, correct?
Correct.
Okay, very good. All right, so we'll go ahead then on our third item is the discussion of the 2021 Village Operating Budget. And I think everyone can see the annual operating budget up on their screen, hopefully. If you cannot, please let us know and we will try to help you.
Would there be any value in doing a approval for a participation at this point?
Yeah, we'll need a motion from one of the trustees to allow everyone to participate remote via audio and video.
Thank you, keeping me honest. Okay, if we can get a motion in a second to do this meeting telephonically.
I'll make a motion to have our meeting telephonically.
Second.
Okay, looks like Bob did. Yeah. I think Patty moved and Bob seconded.
Yeah.
Okay, very good, thanks. If you can get the vote, please, on that.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Carji?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennig?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now we'll have the discussion on the fiscal year 2021 Village Operating Budget, and I will then pass that off to Village Administrator Eric Palm.
All right, thank you. Good evening, everyone. If you had watched River Forest budget meeting on Zoom on your bingo card, please mark that spot accordingly. Tonight we're going to walk through the fiscal year 2021 operating budget. You should all be able to see my presentation here through the Zoom feature on your computer. So just walking through the agenda, we'll have the presentation. We'll review individual funds and departments. We'll also have some commentary on short-term implications. And then this is queued up to be approved tonight. We have our statutory public hearing during the regular meeting at 7 o'clock. And as you've already seen, that is on the agenda this evening. For final consideration. I have talked to some of the trustees as well who have brought up some other non-financial monetary type items, more of the window dressing around the budget. And so all those comments have been received and we'll certainly make those updates to the final document.
Okay, will you let us know what they are when you get there so that they're not repeats of questions or that someone might
Have? Mostly we're talked about what we talked about today regarding the cleanup of some of the performance measurement documents and information in the police side that Chief O'Shea had been working on.
Okay, that's the main one. Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, so one comment, maybe just a little commentary before we kick off tonight's meeting as it relates to the budget in COVID-19. I've stressed this before, but I certainly want to stress it again for anyone who's watching this or listening this evening. The Village sits in an excellent financial position right now, and that's across all of our funds. So our general fund, we keep strong general fund reserves. We have good reserves in our water and sewer fund. Our capital equipment replacement fund is fully funded. And we also keep surpluses in our insurance funds. I share this with you all primarily because when we get into a situation like COVID-19, where our world's off kilter a little bit, our financial prudence and discipline has put us in a position to, in a strange way, embrace this type of moment. We're ready for it. We don't have to knee-jerk at all. We don't have to run out and make draconian cuts like some other towns are doing. So we're in a position where we can just take a deep breath and relax and watch how the next couple months unfold to see what things we have to do in the future. And certainly there are some what I'll call low-hanging fruit that we'll discuss at the end of the presentation that we could implement that would you know, save us, you know, close to $750,000 just in this fiscal year alone, and not have a major impact to our services. So again, the mantra I want to preach and stress to you all is that we're in good financial shape, and as the COVID epidemic continues to evolve, we're prepared to deal with this financially and deal with it head on. So looking at your highlights in the budget document, we always like to stress that our budget document is award-winning from the Government Finance Officers Association. This document will be submitted as well for consideration. The capital improvement plan that we discussed back in January is folded into this document, as well as our general board goals and accomplishments. And again, we continue to focus and stress our three key themes: ensuring that we provide, live in a safe community, protect and strengthen our value of our property, and implement strategies to stabilize property taxes. So just looking at a quick snapshot of the general fund from 20 to 2021, we continue to utilize our general fund reserves as a means to, and then also look at one-time expenditures to provide you a balanced budget. And so if you look at this year, we are just over the hump at $6,500 in the black for fiscal year 2021. And backing out those one-time expenditures and essentially using our general fund reserves for that purpose. And so in this case, we're looking at some soft costs for the comp plan, some equipment for public works. And then, as you know, we've overhired in the police department in order to get new recruits up and running. And so those costs will obviously are obviously one-time costs because in subsequent years the employees will the hiring will balance itself out, and so there wouldn't be an overhire type situation. And then in the previous year we did have a loan back to the Madison Street TIF fund for another property acquisition, which helped move us into an over budget situation, but that was a planned situation that we obviously knew about and intended for. So again, for next year, we are presenting a balanced budget. Highlighting general fund revenues just on a top level, revenues and expenditures this year are down slightly. The major change here is on license and permits that we'll talk about here momentarily as we get into depth on each one. General fund revenues, your 65% of your revenue comes from property tax, sales tax, and income tax. Sales tax slightly decreased this year with some retail vacancies, and again, a relatively flat projection as we headed into the coming year. You'll see an increase on the revenue side for refuse based on a pass-through from Strom and the contract for waste hauling. Property taxes went up about $220,000 this year. Income tax revenue is projected to go up 4%. Again, that'll be something we'll be looking at in later months as the Illinois Municipal League, who we rely on for those per capita state shared revenue projections, makes updates to those projections. And then building permit revenue is down this year, and that's primarily because of the Chicago and Harlem development. That's a one-time revenue that came in for fiscal year 2020. Looking at some fee changes for the general fund for fiscal year 2021, solid waste collection fees will increase 2.5%, as well as increased cost of composting fees and a 10-cent increase to the waste tags. We do have in the budget and baked into the ordinance that you have previously approved an increase to parking lot fees that will take effect later this year. We're increasing the zoning variation fee from $600 to $700. And again, this is more or less to try to recoup our cost that staff handles when we talk about processing variation requests from residents. We do have an increase to our contractor licenses for landscapers and snow removal contractors. That's currently at $100, so it's about a $25 increase to that. To that fee. And outside of those fees, which I would characterize certainly as on the lower end of things, That's all we are looking at for fiscal year 2021. Looking at general fund expenditures, expenditures are anticipated to be down about 2% next year. And you can see the makeup of those through salary and benefits in the first two rows, and then through contractual commodities and then transfers. And we'll talk about the transfers later on in the presentation as well. And you'll hear me say this repeatedly, and any village administrator or manager would say the same thing. Most of your, if you go back there, you can see of the close to $17 million, $12 million or so is of made up of salaries and benefits. We're a customer service organization. We provide services to residents, and those services are carried out through our dedicated employees. And so that's the lion's share of your costs when it comes to the budget. And why I always stress when we talk about the capital budget really being the opportunity to focus on what kind of projects and initiatives we want to work on for the coming year. Certainly some of that is into this budget, but as you can tell, most of that is already accounted for and spoken for through salaries and benefits. And of your salaries, most of those salaries are negotiated through collective bargaining agreements that you approve. Looking at personnel services, we approve the operating contract or the collective bargaining agreement, for the operating engineers, which is our public works employees. That took effect in February of 2020. So their raises are put into this budget. Our other three contracts are currently outstanding. We certainly make assumptions into the budget for those contracts. And then future salary increases are always looked at 2%, and those are out in the out years as we look at our general fund projections. And then we do have a 2.25% cost of living increase for non-union employees into the budget as well, and that number is derived at looking at comparable communities in the area. General fund benefits, is made up of essentially our health and dental insurance, as well as our contributions to the police and fire pension funds. As you can see, a majority of that, almost close to $100,000, is increases to police and fire pensions. And certainly those costs have, though, leveled off significantly through the years, where we were seeing, in some cases, 10-15% increases. And we continue to enjoy below market increases to our health and dental insurance. Aggregated together, we're at about 2% of an increase to our health and dental insurance, which is great news. Our contractual services, again, this is made up of our contract with Roy Strom, which is just over $1 million, so that's a third of that line item. Our IT support comes out of this line item. Village attorney, for example, as well, and then our dispatch fees, which went down significantly last year, in part to the police chief's leadership in terms of making some operational changes and just in how we classify calls with the dispatch center. So kudos to him for seeing that decrease. And then our contribution, our premium, I should say, to Irma is also considered in this line item. Which is about $270,000 for our liability and insurance. Commodities, so your office supplies, your pens, your paper, all that stuff, which makes up a very small part of our budget, is about $370,000, and that went down primarily because we took the cost of the salt purchase each year for public works, and we moved that to motor fuel tax, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So three-year projections looking out, you can see at the bottom, if you were to bottom line this, which I know a lot of people enjoy, you can see where our fund balance is. One thing I will point out, though, that's not accounted for in this spreadsheet is obviously we carry fund balances in our different funds, but the village has also loaned the Madison Street TIF fund $1.8 million for strategic property purchases. And so that's essentially been a loan from the general fund to the Madison Street TIF fund. The point being is that number is not included in this this figure. So if you were just to take the 4.044903 at the bottom right corner there, you would add 1.8 million. So you're really, you know, you're at about 5.8. So if we needed that money, which we don't, from a cash flow perspective, we could certainly bond money out and get that money back. But essentially, over time, that money will be paid back to the general fund. Mm-hmm. So looking at department budgets, we've highlighted and drawn in some of the accomplishments as well as the goals and objectives of the main operating departments. I'm certainly not going to go through all of these. I just want to highlight on a couple things for you. One thing administration has done under Lisa and John's leadership is issued the RFP and has gotten responses back for our new building permit software. So one of the things, and kudos to our building department who's been doing a great job during the COVID-19 epidemic, but certainly an area for improvement is implementing some better technology in that department. As we do intake for our building permits. And so that is something we will implement here in fiscal year 2021. And then also, you know, really looking at the effects of COVID-19. And certainly once this epidemic is done, you know, all the government agencies will have the necessary postmortem after action reports. We will do that too. But really, you know, certainly, we'll look at things like, you know, hand sanitizers or an N95 mask, because those things are important. But I think one of the things we'll really focus on is operations. How do we operate as an organization? And not just police and fire, but how our administration operates as well. You know, we're finding that, as you well know, that we don't have to necessarily have public comment. And I think there are other ways where we can make improvements to be a little bit smarter in how we do things here at Village Hall. And still provide the necessary services to our residents. So while that after action report will certainly look at a lot of the, I think, things that people think we would focus on with COVID-19, there's going to be some operational areas we'll want to focus on as well. And again, that's not a negative to our operations and how we do things, but I think an opportunity for growth. On the police side, I want to commend Chief O'Shea and the work he did in terms of his community outreach this year, especially focusing on the crime prevention meetings that have been streamed live on Facebook. Those have been very well received. And really looking as we look going forward in 2021, you know, our police department really is a leader when it comes to use of technology, from our street cameras to our license plate readers. And there are speed trailers, our speed monitor signs now that we have up. We're really looking at making the smart city and our police department one-on-one. And as the chief likes to say, using technology as a force multiplier, and certainly continuing to do that here in the upcoming fiscal year. The fire department has also been very active under Chief Bowman's leadership. As it relates to technology, this past year, they implemented a new digital dispatch system through WESCOM, which not only provided some additional protocols, but additional technology to provide efficiencies in how we do our call-outs. And so the fire department continues to use technology where appropriate. And then also working with the police department and our fire and police commission, they'll be looking to implement some improvements to how we do our testing for firefighters and police officers. Coming up later this year. On the public works side, again, we've been a leader as it relates to the implementation of sustainable projects. There hasn't been a fiscal year, probably in the past 8 or 9 years, where we haven't had some green element to our infrastructure. And that was certainly true last year with 4 permeable paver alleys, as well as the rain gardens along Chicago Avenue. So John and Jeff and Mark continue to do a great job with that. And then as we talk about our smart city, it's the Public Works Department that's helping implement all of that technology really at a very efficient cost. So our radar speed signs, our street cameras are certainly elements of technology that we are physically installing and implementing down at Public Works. So that's been a great way to save some money. And then, as you know from the capital improvement discussion, Mark gave us a little tutorial on salt brining and salt brining equipment, and that's something we'll continue to look at for next year as well. All right, so that was an overview of the general fund. So moving on to the water and sewer fund here, again, more of the high level numbers. As you can see, for fiscal year 2021, we are showing a deficit, but that's due in part, or due in part exclusively to the fact we're spending about $900,000 on capital projects for next year. And so a breakdown of that shows a water main replacement. We continue to do sewer relining and point repairs where appropriate. We'll make some additional improvements to the water tower and to the pump station, as well as our underground reservoirs. And then we are putting in some consulting money to look at AMI, which is the automated metering infrastructure that we had talked about during the capital improvement program, and then our hydrant and water meter replacement, and as well as revisiting the deployable leak sensors that we've talked about previously. So definitely a capital intensive year for the water and sewer fund, but all good stuff. And you can see in terms of water and sewer rates, what that looks like for next year. And so what you're seeing right now is an 11-cent increase to the water rate, and that is merely the pass-through that the city of Chicago has given us in terms of the wholesale rate that we pay for water. So several years ago, we've kind of separated the water rate out between the village's water rate and the city of Chicago rate, and then only apply that increase to what we get from the city of Chicago. And so if you look at water and sewer rates through the years, you can go back. The village hasn't really raised its portion of the rate since June of 18. And the rates in then 19 and now 20 are just the Chicago rates. So we're essentially keeping up with the wholesale rate that we're paying to the city of Chicago, but we've been able to hold the line on having to raise the rate any further to accommodate for any other costs or expenses. And so that's something we continue to look at and evaluate on an annual basis. As I mentioned before, we continue to maintain good reserves in the water and sewer fund. So we're comfortable making that recommendation at this time. And then if you look at the three-year projection, you'll see next year there's actually an increase in revenue and expenditures to a tune of close to $1 million, maybe a little less on the expense side. That accounts for that automated metering technology that we talked about previously. So we envision the planning taking place this coming year and then the implementation in fiscal year 2022. That's a pretty intensive project. So it would take a while to plan it out and then implement it. So you would see an uptake in 2022 and then come back down in 2023. But as you can see there at the bottom line, again, the village continues to maintain good investments and good fund reserves in the water fund. And again, this is all separate from the general fund. Pension funds, we talked about this briefly at the beginning as it relates to the contributions from the village and the general fund. And we see a modest increase on the police side and then about just under a 5% increase on the fire side. What will be interesting, and Rosie and I have already talked about this, is that the investments each year are looked at a moment in time, right? So it's always looked at on 4/30 of the fiscal year. So we'll see how our investments look on 4/30. Again, just like everything else, I'm preaching calmness and not to worry about what one particular date and time will look like. Right. Obviously, the short-term implications of the stock market, which are starting to come back a little bit, shouldn't dictate long-term financial policies and strategies. It may be a motivation to move the fiscal year to 12/31, but I have a feeling when we would do that, we would just cause the stock market would follow us to that date instead. MFT. So we talked a little bit about this earlier on in the presentation. We're going to have a very robust street resurfacing program this year. On average, we spend probably closer to $300,000 in road resurfacing. But as you know, we issued those bond funds earlier this year, so that's going to help allow us to do a little bit more. So those are the streets that we'll be handling this year. You can see the list there. And then we've made an adjustment. So the legislature allowed us to have two things. One, a increase in our MFT allotment that comes from the state. And so we have additional funds that have come in for that. And so we've moved our salt purchase from the general fund to MFT to give us some relief from the pressure on the general fund. So we let MFT pick that up. And then we're also paying for crack sealing and street patching as well. That's all coming from our MFT allotment. And then starting July 1st, we'll also be putting in a 3 cent per gallon gas tax. Again, that was another item the General Assembly approved last year's legislative session. So that will take effect on July 1 and be collected and remitted by the Department of Revenue. And how much did we didn't put in that much for that. About $25,000, just because we don't really know at this point until we start seeing that money come in. But based on some research we did with the Village of Oak Park and their local motor fuel tax, we thought that was a conservative estimate. And that's motor fuel tax. SERF, that is your capital equipment replacement fund. Again, our SERF at this point is fully funded. What does that mean? Well, it means we have over $3 million in the bank in this fund. And theoretically, if you had to replace every piece of equipment and vehicle today, you could do so. And this will be an area that we'll talk about when we look at potential short-term ideas to address any kind of budget shortfalls. But our SERF is broken into two areas, our general fund transfers, and then for water and sewer equipment, we transfer money out of the water and sewer fund into the general fund to replace that equipment. That's just the high level of some of the costs we spend on vehicles and equipment for next year. And again, this was all discussed during the capital improvement program. Capital Improvement Fund, this was a new fund created in 2014 that we took our red light camera revenue and put this in a separate fund for various projects, our alley projects, our IT improvements, things of that nature had been paid for out of SIF. This will be a revenue source we will keep an eye on. Obviously, people are driving less right now, so we'll see some, we're likely to see some lower amounts into this fund. But again, we keep a pretty good fund reserve here as well, and we'll continue to monitor this as we go forward. And then looking at some of those SIF projects, this is where we have allocated money for this year. Police radios, street camera system, bike plan implementation, traffic signal improvements. One side note, if you haven't seen it already, the Lake and Thatcher improvements have been completed. So if you're needing to make a left-hand turn, you'll get an arrow now. And additional money for our alley IT, as well as the software upgrades that we talked about, and some improvements here at Village Hall and Public Works. Admittedly, some of these items we will probably not, as we hit the beginning of the fiscal year, we're not going to run out of the gates and start spending all this money. We want to do see what, you know, we can separate these things out from, you know, more critical to less important and hold those things off that are not as important off to the side until we have a better handle on what that revenue looks like. But this is the area that we would be, these are the areas where we would be spending that money on this coming year. So again, looking out, you've seen this slide already in terms of what the general fund looks like in future years. We are using our fund reserve strategically on one-time purchases. But again, that unending unassigned fund balance does not include the $1.8 million we've loaned the Madison Street TIF fund for strategic property purchases. So you're closer to about $5.8-6 million when it's all said and done. And that's in fiscal year 2023 completed. So again, very good shape financially. Mm-hmm. I always like to show this graph. Just this shows where your property tax levy goes in terms of general fund operations, police and fire pensions, and the work that we've done to increase our police and fire pensions, which is the right thing to do, certainly. But obviously, that's a limited pot of money. So as that money does increase over time, it is being dedicated more to those pension funds. And so I think this graph,
it's a great graph.
Does a good job at telling that story. Yep. Where you were in 2011 versus today. Just some general comments about our future years in the general fund. Again, continue to do well on the insurance side. We maintain our nominal salary growth and evaluate our pension contributions. As I mentioned before, you know, 75% of your budget is already in salaries and benefits, and with 70% of your workforce unionized, we present this to you, and there's not much discretion you have in those areas unless you decide, obviously, to cut services, which certainly no one is suggesting at this point. Next winter, in December, when we look at the property tax levy, we'll have a 2.3% increase at that time based on the CPI from December of 18 to December of 19. And, you know, staff is certainly always looking at other revenue enhancements. Certainly nothing besides what we presented tonight, but two things that we continue to look at are parking around the universities, the on-street parking, and then a increase to the amount that we charge in a general ticket, which right now is $30 for a parking ticket, a compliance ticket. That hasn't been adjusted in over 10, probably closer to 12 years. That may be something we could look at, but again, nothing is being proposed here this evening. Mm-hmm. So again, circling back to COVID-19 and what do I have to say it seven times for Village's finances are in strong position. So I think that's four. But anyhow, again, don't want to beat a dead horse. Departments have been told, though, obviously, let's limit our spending right now to our essential items. Focus what's on critical. Travel has been suspended, but we can't go anywhere anyhow. So that all kind of works out. Our shared and state revenue that we get from Illinois, from Springfield, is typically on a three-month delay. So a good example of that is each month we get sales tax reported from the state. The money that we received in April, so this month, is actually January sales. So that kind of shows you why having good fund reserves are important, because a lot of times municipalities don't see the revenue effects from downturns in the economy until a little bit later on. And the same goes with our income tax, use tax, things like that. And so the interesting thing here will be, obviously, property tax remains very stable. We'll see some adjustment we anticipate on the income tax. But you also have other revenue streams, like your sales tax, that certainly some stores are going to be reporting less because they've shut down. Other stores, like our grocery stores, have done very well in the last couple months. So we'll continue. And even the money that came in January was what? Point or two higher than year over year? Yeah. Yeah, close to 2% higher than last year. So I think that's why it's important to preach calmness and not making any knee-jerk reactions, because we just don't know yet. We don't have that data in front of us, and we do have the reserves to give us time to make well-informed and educated decisions. So again, same thing with our water bills. You know, we'll see here in the month of April, at the end of the month, what our usage looks like. Mark, I don't know if you have anything, we haven't talked about this, but Mark Giannopoulos, is there anything anecdotally on water usage that you've seen so far?
No, I haven't seen any difference. Maybe water usage down a bit overall. Other than that, no, nothing.
Okay.
I know I'm using more.
Yeah. I know we're using more in my house because we're doing laundry like constantly. But anyhow,
you shut your meter off.
Yeah, everyone's still showering and everything. Yeah. Well, they should be. If you're at home watching this and you're not showering because of COVID, stop what you're doing and please take a shower. Utility taxes, right? We get a tax on our electricity. There's a tax on natural gas. So those are things people at home, we may see some increases to those. So we just have to, take a look and see. If we had to make some quick changes to spending reductions, there's basically $750,000 you could implement right away and not really see any changes, right? So we transfer $500,000 out of the general fund into our SURF fund for vehicle and equipment replacement, and that number is adjusted every year. We could hold off for a year. We would see a decrease in our SURF funding. We could certainly also look at how we're spending that money, and maybe we could also hold off on some vehicle purchases. But that's $500,000 right there, no impact to services. And then we currently have two vacant positions. We have our deputy police chief position, and then we have the position that Lisa talked about a month or two ago in the building department. If we kept those vacant, and there is money offset in there for some contractual services to help with the building department, to offset that. That still is a net of about $250,000. So you'd have $750,000 in savings, and you really wouldn't have to do anything. So that's the good news there. And certainly if we had to make other adjustments, we would be able to provide those to you. But what we're asking for, and you know, here is tonight here, you know, absent any questions or concerns or adjustments you may want to make, is to approve the budget here tonight. This, because we need spending authority starting May 1st. And then the staff will be back to you in probably about 2 or 3 months when we start getting some better data and better information on what our revenue sources look like. And then we'll come back and have a meeting with you and provide a report, and we'll certainly take it for there. And so I'm certainly not downplaying any of that. But again, you know, we're in a position where we can take our time before having to make any changes. Again, if we have to make any changes. And that essentially wraps up the presentation here tonight. Again, thank you to Rosie and Kiki in the finance department for all their work. Lisa heads up our team when she wasn't working on cannabis legislation and things in the fall. She was working on the budget and the capital plan. And John and Sarah and all the department heads as well, certainly a team effort, and happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any particular questions anybody have for Eric? Or we've got Jim here, and Jim, you've got to say something? Oh.
Just big bear, Jason, Bob.
Oh, okay, very good. I'm sorry?
Bob.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Okay.
Hey, on the building permit, do you know offhand, and I know the Chicago and Harlem was a big chunk of that, do you know what their building permit was? So, like, if we had to anticipate what we think building permits are going to look like, and obviously the world is what it is today, but do you know what the cost of that permit was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know the cost?
I can take that.
Lisa's handed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa.
Sorry, Lisa.
Sure, you're welcome. That was in the neighborhood of $600,000.
Yeah, it was a nice building permit. And if all goes well, we'll have a few more.
Yeah, and generally speaking, we don't put that revenue in the budget.
All right.
Unless, and you know, Chicago and Harlem was different when they had come in and they were paying it as we were doing the budget, so that one we baked in. But yeah, there are a couple different projects that would could move forward that could change that number.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's, well, I'll just make a few comments. First of all, to all everyone here, the Chiefs, Rosie, your team, and of course, Eric, your team, between yourself and Sarah and John and Lisa and John, the other John Anderson and Mark and everybody that, Jeff, I hope I haven't missed anybody. I know we're a small team, but we're a mighty team. I can tell you I'm very impressed with this budget. I am so comfortable with where, and comfort probably isn't the place to be, but I'm comfortable, and I'm very satisfied and comfortable where we need to be. I don't see a structural issue here at all. In fact, I really do believe the policies that we took on in 2013 and 2012 helped us along the way and created what we know, what we have today. And then of course, just your general fiscal constraints and fiscal policies that we've created along the way have also have done very well. So I am just pleased. I don't know. I think many municipalities are somewhat jealous of our stand, but as far as the COVID-19, I agree with Eric. You know, there's many unknowns that we don't know, but I don't think any of them are going to be completely coming out of the woodwork. I mean, we don't know the magnitude of some of them, but we have a good idea of what it might be. And frankly, in my estimation, I don't think it's going to be very large. In addition, I know we're going to give a status early as we go into our board meeting, but on some of the programs that actually we can get reimbursed on the COVID-19 expenses. So we are in good shape in anything that we've expended along the way because of COVID-19. But any revenue loss, I think we're also in a good shape as well. So from my perspective, I'd like to thank the staff, the team. You, our guys are great. You're awesome. It's these are the type of talented, you know, mindful, I guess, kind of people we want here in River Forest. So thank you for being that that personnel and, you know, taking taxpayers like ourselves and knowing that, you know, every dime we take in is a precious dime. So I appreciate all that. If there's any further comments on any of the budget items, I guess we can.
Just a question back to COVID stuff, and again, I echo Kathy's compliments to staff and all the hard work that I know goes into this budget. Do we have a sense yet as far as expenses that we've had related to COVID, what we're looking at? I know there were the background checks for the task force. What other types of expenses have
I think the township picked that up. Just so you know,
the township picked that up.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
So what types of expenses are we seeing at this point, or are we, in regards to COVID?
Yeah, I'll let the chiefs maybe speak a little bit operationally to their department. I mean, administratively, we haven't had too much yet. Obviously, we have Helen Kwan and her assistant and those I'm on her to try to get that paperwork in so we can get her paid. Certainly, we'll have that. That's eligible for FEMA reimbursement. And typically how FEMA reimbursement works, it's 75 cents on the dollar that you get back from the government. We have been submitted our paperwork as relates to the registration. Thank you. Yeah. So we've submitted all that paperwork back to the state and the federal government. So we're in the queue when they start allowing for expenses to be reimbursed. We've had a couple administrative things, but on the police and fire side, it's dead. The mic's dead. Okay. Hang on.
Oh,
you. When you want to come up, you can come to the podium.
Yeah.
That's 6 feet away. I'll scoot.
Or just maybe put the.
Yeah.
Is there another one?
Yeah, let me check.
Derek, there's also batteries in that drawer.
You can just sit at one of the, at Eric's. If you want.
I can speak right here. This
okay,
is,
very
this
good.
Is fine.
Very good.
On the police department side, the costs that would be COVID-19 related would be PPE supplies. Luckily, we eventually did start getting some from Cook County Homeland Security Emergency Services. The kindness of residents and some of the businesses donating supplies has been overwhelming, and we appreciate that. And we have an ongoing list that, of course, we'll make available to the elected officials to see. Members of the community, organizations that have made donations. As far as a running count right now, without having a tally with me, probably about $3,000 to $4,000 in those PPE supplies. Incident command boards were created at a certain cost in case we had to open up an emergency operations center, but pretty limited as far as additional costs and all these items. I don't want to use the term that the state and federal are using, stockpile. It will become part of our stockpile. But these are items we also use as part of our evidence technician program, so the officers are safe when they're processing crime scenes. So there's nothing that we've obtained or are still waiting to come in, actually, that can't be either repurposed or is used on a regular basis by the police department.
You know, and Jim, I would add, I mean, the way we knew life before COVID-19 about not, you know, using PPE, whether it's surgical masks or N95s, and when we used them when we thought we needed them, I think now we're going to use them all the time. It's going to be my suspicion that as you look to the future that you're going to find yourselves, all first responders are probably going to use some sort of PPE device. So that stockpile that you're talking about will probably get depleted pretty quickly.
But one other question then, Jim, even for Kurt, but operationally in terms of in any increased overtime attributable to COVID-19, you're not seeing that at this point?
Overtime is actually down, not just for, let's say, COVID-related. And we are coding this out for Rosie as far as in the finance department, whether it's overtime or also any supplies. that can be put in for reimbursement. But as far as street overtime, it's down. And once again, the court overtime's down. So we're not seeing this. And one of the things we monitored was not jumping to, let's say, an emergency operations 12-hour staffing plan, which we might have seen a little bit of an uptick in the overtime. We still, as you know, everything's fluid. We monitor these things every day. We meet on it every day to see, are we making the right decisions?
Okay. Is that okay, Trustee? Okay.
Eric, this is Katie. I have just a question to clarify on the building inspector position. It looked like we were going from part-time to full-time, and that's in the budget that we're approving, being asked to approve tonight, a full-time building inspector position. But is the plan nonetheless not to actively seek for someone to fill that position and to plan to just use a contractor at this point?
Correct. Yeah, we're Lisa and I have talked, so we will not be filling this position at this time. And we'll be putting in, we have some, instead of spending the money on the allocation for the full-time equivalent, we'd be using a BNF more than likely to come in and handle that part that we would not be having with the full-time position, which a lot of that is property maintenance inspections, code enforcement, things of that mm-hmm. nature.
Okay.
So the number I quoted you at $750,000 earlier on in the presentation, factored in about $50,000, $40,000 to $50,000 in contractual expenses.
Okay, and then how does that work for the assistant police chief slot?
Yeah, so the deputy police chief position has been vacant for probably over a year now, and so we continue to the chief and I continue to evaluate that position. As well as leadership within the police department, and so we're in constant dialogue and conversation about that. But I think we're both comfortable, and the chief is nodding his head, where we're at right now. So if we had to go a year further without filling that position, we're comfortable in doing so.
Thanks, and I think that's a smart move right now, given some of the uncertainty of the COVID. So.
Yep.
Great. Good question. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Patty. Any other questions? Okay. Then we will go ahead and adjourn our committee of the whole meeting. I guess we'll if I can get a motion to adjourn in a second.
I move to adjourn.
Okay. A second.
Okay.
Don't hang up. So yep. We're going to continue. Sarah, are you on the line?
Sarah's on.
Is she? Yeah. Oh, there she is. Oh, hi, sir. We're staying on this number in this call. So they're just, all right, everyone's nodding their head. Okay, so trustees, don't hang up. You can mute, go have a beverage, use the facilities, or take a shower maybe, like I said before. And then we'll
use the water.
We'll use your water. And then we'll be back at it at 7 o'clock. So.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thanks.
All in favor?
Yeah. Aye. All in favor, right? To adjourn?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, meeting adjourned.